Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Underwear, armpit hair, many imitators, but no one compares.
Badass Women's Hour XL with Harriet Minter, Natalie Campbell and Emma Sexton on Talk Radio.
One, two, three, four!
Welcome to the Badass Women's Hour podcast, Extra Bits, our little gift for you podcast subscribers. This week, we meet the man who founded the Good Man Project, and he tells us just why it's so important men truly start to understand the Me Too movement.
Now, you cannot have missed the Me Too movement that blew up last year. Hundreds of thousands of women telling their stories of sexual assault. But in the middle of that, there was a quieter piece, which was men talking about their own assaults, men talking about their own experiences, being the victims, being part of the victims that spoke in Me Too rather than the perpetrators. They didn't get as much time or attention. But one man is now trying to change that. It's Mark Green joining us on the line from New York now. Hi, Mark.
Hi, how are you? It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, thank you very much for joining us. So tell us why we need to change the conversation around Me Too to make it include men as well.
Well, there's some mention in my book of this question of men being victims of sexual assault, mm-hmm. of sort of the challenges that men face in that way. But the book itself is actually centers on one very specific question. And it's not so much that men are victims of sexual assault, although they are in pretty large numbers. Mm-hmm. The question it asks is, why are men so alarmed by the Me Too movement? Mm. Why are they alarmed by women's stories of being assaulted? And I try to get to that question by asking men to really think hard about what they were taught about being men and how that's running up against the Me Too movement.
What conclusions did you come to? Because I don't know if you saw this, but a couple of weeks ago here in the UK, Gillette, the razor brand, released an advert, mm-hmm. Which referenced the Me Too movement, and men across the country went crazy.
So men went crazy all over the US too.
Yeah. What's the motivation behind that? I don't understand it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think people broke evenly into two camps. Some of us felt like that ad was telling men that they're no good.
Yeah.
Is that what you thought, Mark? You didn't see that?
Okay. No. I'll tell you what I saw. What I saw was an ad that said men can be heroes. Yeah. Men can step in. Men can engage and stop acts of sexual harassment or bullying. And for me, that message was very clear in that ad. So you have to begin to wonder, what is it about our culture of manhood that caused millions of men to be threatened by the opportunity to do better?
But I think that's a cultural thing, isn't it? Because we had a big discussion on the show, and somebody like yourself, Mark, you've been running the Good Man Project for a long time, writing about this, really trying to redefine modern masculinity. But I think there's an awful lot of men who just are not really listening to these conversations, not really privy to these conversations. So the Gillette ad was such a big shock to them that they were like, mm-hmm. just went massively on the defensiveness. And that's one thing that did bother me about that ad, is that I don't feel like it took men on a journey with us. I felt like it alienated a lot of men from the conversation.
Well, and this is the challenge. There's a moment in the beginning of that ad that is sort of garbled. You can only half hear it, but the phrase toxic masculinity is in there. And I don't use that term because I think it causes a lot of reactivity.
Yeah.
But what I do talk about is something called man box culture. And the man box was originally created by Paul Kibble and the Oakland Men's Project in the early 1980s. And the way that they created this term, they called it living in the man box or the act like a man box, was they were going to schools and they were talking to boys about what it means to be a man. And they kept hearing the same language, the same story over and over again. Men are supposed to be tough. Men are supposed to be breadwinners. Men are supposed to get all the girls. Men are supposed to be confident. But most of all, men are not supposed to show their emotions. Mm. And I can tell you, I went into a New York City public school room doing the same work in the last 6 months, and I heard the same terms. So the man box culture is telling boys and men at a very early age that they should not be sharing their emotional expression with anybody. And emotional expression is key to forming relationships.
I absolutely agree with you, Mark.
It does a lot of damage.
We're going to keep exploring this and what we mean, I guess, more about the man box and the damage it does. And I really want to talk to you about locker room talk as well, what we mean by locker room talk and why it's damaging. All of that and more coming up after the break here on Badass Women's Hour XL.
Badass Women's Hour XL on Talk Radio.
She'll get you talking.
We're talking to Mark Green, author of Remaking Manhood. Just before the break, Mark, we were talking about the man box and the effect that it is having on young men today. Can you tell us a little bit about just, I guess, some of the classic things that you see that are part of this man box that might just be passed off as, oh, boys being boys?
Well, I think the man box is integral to the behavior that we then, permit. With the phrase, boys will be boys. What you have to understand about this man box culture and this idea that men are tough and men don't share their emotions is this conditioning kicks in right after our sons are born. We treat them differently than girl babies. We don't pick them up as quickly when they start crying. There's a number of things that already happen when they're infants, but a woman named Judy Chu wrote a book called When Boys Become Boys, and she was embedded in a pre-K class, and she tracked this group of boys and girls for 2 years. And what she discovered is that already at age four, boys begin hiding their emotional acuity. They begin playing this sort of indifferent character that society puts on men, even at that early age. There's a little boy who comes to her and he says, Miss Chu, I'm friends with all the girls, but don't tell, Joe, the head of the boys club, or he'll kick me out of the club and I won't have a club anymore. Yeah. So it's bad enough that our sons are not really encouraged to have ongoing friendships with the girls at that age. But what you really have to track is that this little four-year-old boy already knows who the alpha is, and he's already limiting his expression and connection in the world based on what he perceives that alpha is asking of him. And this goes on in boys' lives all through adolescence. Niobe Way wrote a book called Deep Secrets. She talks about how we start to give the message to adolescent boys that if they really are deeply caring about their best friendships, the terms that are used is that's girly or gay, don't do that. Disconnect from those relationships. The end result is epidemics of isolation. I know that the British government recently had a secretary post about loneliness, managing the epidemic of loneliness. Loneliness is a killer.
Yeah.
It's a killer. It literally is this. People who are chronically lonely, and in America, the AARP did a survey, 1 in 3 Americans age 45 and older are chronically lonely. Cigna did a survey last year. 1 out of every 2 Americans say they're either sometimes or always alone. It's equivalent to smoking a pack of cigarettes a day. It'll kill you. And the man box trains our sons out of authentic connection, and it does it in one very specific way. It's that language where if boys aren't doing it right, they get called sissies, they get called girls. So in that very moment, we both strip boys of the trial and error time to develop relational capacities, and we denigrate women. Boom, in that same moment.
Now,
so, Mark, right. Listening to you, I completely agree with everything that you've said, but my mind then rolls to, but we don't have enough a volume of examples of men behaving in an alternative way and still succeeding. And even if we think of some, they're moments. And so part of this is about creating a new narrative and creating a different story and giving both men and women, boys and girls, the language to understand who they are based on something they have never seen or experienced. So I'm thinking about I'm thinking about movies and I'm thinking about music and I'm thinking about video games. I'm thinking about all the things that they see. They're not seeing this alternative role. So it's really hard, other than through parenting, it's really hard to figure out what you're going to be like based on the fact that most of us role model what we've seen, how we behave is we behave how we've seen other people behave. So, kids role modeling what they see from their parents and see out in the world. And so I don't know, it's not a sense of hopelessness, but it's almost a, where do you start? How? Yeah.
Well, it may not surprise you to know that my partner and I have also written a book called The Relational Book for Parenting, and that's out there. You can Google it. We talk about how to grow this in the family, and you're exactly right that it is in conversation, in the back and forth of relating in family, that we can encourage our sons to stay in touch with who they are in authentic ways, to grow their capacity to relate. But I also want you to know there is a very powerful force in the world that simply does not see a positive bottom line for the man box, and that is corporations.
Yeah.
Corporations are beginning to look for people who know how to collaborate across difference, who know how to relate with people from other cultures and other societies, who know how to be empathetic, who know how to co-create. And they're looking for people with those capabilities, and they're training people how to step outside this man box culture and approach their own performance of manhood in a different way. And that's the purpose of the little Me Too book for men, because the problem we face, and you just described it, is that men don't see culture. They believe who they are as men is identity for them. And if we can get them to take a look at what culture has been telling them and create just a little wedge of daylight between who they think their identity is and what culture has been telling them, it's in that little wedge of daylight that they can start to create change. And believe me, man-box culture is killing men, it's beating our brains out, and it's killing women. Yeah. And if we don't make a change in terms of this, none of us are going to have the rich, full, authentic, connected lives that we are hardwired to have, that we deserve to have.
Mark, I just want to bring it back to the Me Too movement. I've had a number of conversations with men about the Me Too movement, and their pushback to me is always, I think it's great, but what concerns me is all the false allegations. And every single time we talk about Me Too, it's always this big concern about false allegations. And I'm not joking, nearly every single man I've had a conversation about Me Too, that's one, is their biggest fear. And two, they think that the majority, they just don't believe women. And I don't know if that's your experience and why men are so consumed with thinking that the majority of women are just lying. And what we do about that.
Yeah, I actually have a chapter about the false allegation issue. Any false criminal allegation is extremely rare because the actual penalty for making a false allegation is pretty catastrophic. There are people who push back against all sorts of stories around Me Too. The CDC in America, the Center for Disease Control, estimates that 1 in 5 women are rape survivors in the U.S., and that's somewhere around 25 million women. And there are actually people in the world, in the men's universe, who debate those numbers. And I'm trying to understand in that moment what kind of culture of manhood would debate the number of millions of women raped instead of how to end it, how to end this problem. If men are worried about false allegations, it is because they are looking for a way to stay out of the solution. When men talk about false allegations, it is a way to allow themselves to stay out for a little longer.
Mark, is it but staying out or is it protectionism? So I'm thinking about in the notes when it says what prompted you to write this book, and you're talking about Kavanaugh and the outpouring of support for Kavanaugh. I think men look across and they go, but that's a guy like my buddy. That's the guy that looks like me. If it happens to him, it could happen,
it can happen to me.
And so it's protectionism that then breeds the, well, you know, it can't be true. And what happens if? And then it's
the reality that just somewhere along the line, they've done something that they are now looking at and going, was that okay?
Yeah, exactly. So protectionism, fear, all of this just...
Could be me. Yeah.
It just breeds a cycle.
I want to say there are millions of men who believe women and who are adamant about believing women. And I think the challenge we have is to get men to look at what they've been taught about women. Mm-hmm. And culture teaches men that women are less. And it teaches men that if they're going to be real men, they have to be a dominant, they have to live in this dominant pecking order culture of manhood. And if you cannot connect in authentic ways with your friends in manhood, and we can't because we're taught not to do that, then we do the surface level man box hierarchy stuff, which includes doing this male privilege, sort of putting women down, locker room talk, right? That's how we're taught to bond. And we get rewarded for that in these social structures, right? Mm-hmm. But I will tell you that millennials are not buying into this stuff like baby boomers did. Yep. There is a shift going on. Stay-at-home dads are a massive source of change because they're breaking all of the rules of the man box. We have corporate America is saying, look, we need to learn to connect and communicate and create a culture of equality because that's a more productive, profitable context in which to do business. But the guys who are loudest and the guys who are the alpha males and the angry ones, and believe me, we've got them here. In fact, we've got one in the White House, are screaming bloody murder at this point, right? Mark, and they're going to be loudest just before the dawn, I think.
What's the one thing, just quickly, that if a man is listening to this right now and thinking, actually, I want to break out of the man box, what's the one thing they should be doing?
They should be seeking more authentic conversations with other men and forming real connection. And there are men's organizations that do that. The Mankind Project is one of them, and I know they are in Europe as well as the U.S.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you gotta fix this isolation, this devastating isolation that all men are living with. And if men do nothing but police each other's performance of manhood, then we don't trust each other and we don't connect. And it's in that isolation that a lot of anger and resentment and frustration with everyone around us starts to happen.
Yeah. Mark, thank you so much for joining us tonight and just like giving us a lovely breath of fresh man air. We have really enjoyed it. Thank you. Mark Green is the author of Remaking Manhood, which is out now. Gentlemen, go and buy it. Go buy. Go learn. 1, 2, 3, 4. This has been the Badass Women's Hour podcast with me, Harriet Minter, Natalie Campbell and Emma Sexton. If you want to hear more from us, you can come follow us on social media at Badass Women's Hour, HR, or leave us a review and tell us how much you love us. We really need to feel the love. 5 stars should do it.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.